Well, good morning and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios, the voice of the Tri-County. And with me this morning, I have Ben Poletti from Sidon Stricter Nobe, John Deere dealership here in Jerseyville, Illinois. One of the many establishments that you guys have, businesses, or, you know, stores across the country, So, Ben, welcome. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Chris. Appreciate you having me come in today.
Oh, yep. My pleasure. You are wearing green. I was wondering if you'd be wearing green today.
Of course.
Are you required to wear green every day?
It's not required, but strongly encouraged.
I was going to, as an intro, I should have had, what's that one country song? You said, painted on the water tower in John Deere green.
Right.
You
right.
love that song, don't
of
you?
Of course. Of course.
That's a good one. That is a good one. He said they should have used red, but not green.
No, that doesn't fly.
Okay. So, Ben, you head up the local store, and tell us how'd that come about?
Yeah, so going back just a little bit in time,
yeah,
Chris, because I'm not a Jerseyville native. Grew up in the little town of Redbud, which everybody seems to know where that's at. Grew up, went to high school there, and both my parents came off of farm backgrounds, but we didn't have a farm. So I was trying to find a way to stay in agriculture and didn't really have a farm to go back to. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up going up to University of Illinois and studying agriculture.
All right.
And,
fantastic.
And was fortunate enough to get a full-time position with John Deere Corporate out of college. And it was a blast. Traveled all over the place for about 8 years. Had some time overseas, going to different training events and things of that sort. But after moving 5 times in 8 years, it was kind of time to settle down and start focusing on family.
John Deere is all over the world.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yep. They love John Deere.
Right.
How long is John Deere? What made John Deere? I know a guy by name John Deere, right?
Right.
What was his invention?
Well, it was a plow, right? It was a self-scouring plow. And I would imagine if he was around today to see what the technology is, it would blow his mind.
Now, what kind of plows were they using before he developed this?
You know, that's a good question, Chris. I think everybody kind of had their homemade.
Were they wooden plows?
There were some wooden plows, but I think a lot of it was just homemade type stuff. And everybody was trying to find the magic recipe. And he was fortunate enough to find it.
Yeah, that's great. So tell me a little bit more about how you got here.
Yeah, so when I was with Deere, I did get to spend time in several states out east. So I was in Kentucky and Pennsylvania, New York, and a number of others doing field rep type jobs. Once we decided that the moving, we need to slow down a little bit, I went to work for the Mashoffs Family Farms down in Carlisle, Illinois. Of course, I think most people have probably heard the name, very large pork producer in the U.S. And I got to do business development for them. So I was with them for about 10 years, met with lots of different farm families across the Midwest, working with them to build facilities, contract produce, raise hogs as a supplement to their family farm. And a lot of cases, that was what allowed the next generation to come back to the farm. Because as everybody knows, we can't pick up that many more acres to grow our farms. It's
right.
difficult. So it was a diversification effort. Found myself traveling a lot with that role and joined the Nobes. I got back into the green paint.
Okay.
That would have been back in 2016. That's when my family and I moved from Breeze, Illinois, up here to Jerseyville. Started establishing roots up here. And worked with the Jerseyville store. Then I also started working with the Waterloo store, and now I'm working with 6 of the locations, 3 of those on the Illinois side and 3 on the Missouri side of the river.
I see. So where's your main office at?
So we have a couple of different offices, and we can talk a little more about the Sidon Strickers and the Nobes, how they came together.
Yeah.
But both of them had their own offices. So
how about you? Where's your home?
Oh, my home office? I work out of...
Everywhere?
Yeah, out of everywhere. So,
out of your car?
Pretty much out of the car. Yep. The home office on occasion. Bounce around to the stores and find an open desk or hop in a pickup truck with one of the salesmen.
I got you. So tell us about how did they become Sidon Stricter Nobe?
So it's an interesting story. John Deere started probably 15 or 20 years ago looking for scale with dealerships so that they could be more progressive. There's a lot of things that they want the dealerships to do. And so both organizations, the Seidenstrickers and the Nobys, were growing on their own. Mm-hmm. And back in 2019, they both had 13 locations, both family owned, both have very, very similar.
What year was that?
I'm sorry, 2019.
2019
is
not long ago.
Right, not long ago. They both had 13 locations, and they both had a lot of the same culture and beliefs of maintaining family-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. And so the two families got together and started talking about, does a merger make sense? And in 2020, we moved forward with that, and we were pretty fortunate. We had a lot of time to prep for that. Of course, COVID came in shortly thereafter, so that made a bit of a challenge.
Yes.
Both organizations were similar size. And then since then, we've added a couple of stores in Illinois. And most recently, we announced that we're purchasing 10 stores in upstate New York.
Wow. Now, will you go up there and help with that or not?
As of right now, no. Okay. We do have some individuals that are moving up there to help with the transition.
And people might think that New York is just one big city, but... There's a lot of open ground.
That's right. We're a long way from the city where we're at.
Yeah.
And but it's very different agriculture up there.
What do they grow up there in New York?
So there's a lot of dairy, a lot of vineyards in the particular area that we're in. So it does offer a nice diversification from what we have today with row crop here in the Midwest.
I see. How about this commercial applicator division?
Yeah. So when we did the merger, there's different segments of our business, as everybody would expect. The commercial applicator division. So these are for the commercial guys that are going out and spraying, being paid to spray or apply fertilizer for farm producers. Mm-hmm. And the approach that we have to take with them is very different because they're running quite a bit year round. Obviously, during the winter months, they're not running very much, but it's a little different level of support, and we need people that are specialized in those particular products, so the sprayers and dry spreaders, and that's all they work on. So they sleep, eat, breathe, that product line.
Okay.
And we have another group also with our compact construction equipment, so skid steers and mini excavators. That's a big business for us in the city. Around St. Louis, also around Columbia, Missouri, it's big business. But we also know our farm customers use those products as well.
Sure.
So we have a group that's focusing on the construction guys and plumbers and electricians and those sorts of folks. But that's, again, what they eat, sleep, breathe, mm-hmm. is kind of the yellow paint, as we call it, within the John Deere business.
I see. How about e-commerce? Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so e-commerce, as we all know, is up and coming. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to hop on your phone and try to look up a part or something you want to buy, find the availability, hit send, and not have to worry about a store being open. So we have a couple different directions we've gone with that. We have an alignment with Deere, so we can order parts or customers can order parts from any of our locations after hours and then come to the store and pick it up. But we also have a facility in Wentzville that we purchased, it's been 2 or 3 years ago, a really large warehouse facility that we're shipping parts all over the U.S., Canada, that are being ordered online. So lots of home maintenance kits, people are wanting to change oil in their lawnmowers, filters, things of that sort. And we're starting to expand that out as we see demand of people are sitting at home at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night on their phone and they need something.
And they just order it then.
We'll ship it out the next day.
That is cool.
It's really growing. Obviously with COVID, it was a big boom.
And especially in farming, you know, it's so dependent on the weather. You got a limited time.
That's right.
You need that part and you need it now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So how about in the equipment technology, the implementation and the support. What's going on with you guys there?
Yeah, so many people, if they're not involved in agriculture, don't understand how much technology is used. So if I think back to, 1996, 1998, when we rolled out auto steer on tractors, right? Everybody yes. thought, no, I don't need that. You know, I can drive a straight, I can plant a straight line. I can plant yeah. a straight row. Yeah, maybe you can, maybe not. Well, today the folks that are using that, if we don't have it and it's not working, it's like not having air conditioning in your tractor, right? We need to have that. But they're also finding how much of an impact it has in the productivity of their farm.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So number one is not wearing out the operator. The operator can be paying attention to all the other things that are going on in a tractor or a combine that they need to be watching instead of trying to stay on a row or stay in a straight line. The other part of that is from an agronomic standpoint, and I'm not an agronomist, mm-hmm. but when you get seed placement in the right spot and you're not crowding rows or you're not putting seeds too close to each other, those plants aren't starving each other. They're not fighting each other.
Gotcha.
Right? They act like a weed if they're too close to each other. And this is making obviously huge strides in being able to maximize the productivity of each individual plant.
Yeah.
So that was a starting point, but
now what?
We're knocking on the door of autonomous tractors. So everybody hears about Tesla and the driverless car. We have tractors out in the field right now that are in field test that can plant, they can do tillage, and nobody has to be around it.
Wow. That's crazy.
It'll look for obstacles in the field. It'll notify you of issues. And, some look at that and say, wow, that's going to be really, really expensive. That's not for me. What we're seeing is John Deere is changing their course a little bit. So they want to lower the cost of entry or the cost of people being able to utilize this technology, because an autonomous tractor that could be out there running by itself.
Yeah.
Could be for a large producer that maybe can't find another hired hand or somebody because help's hard to find. Or it could be somebody that's working a day job somewhere else off the farm and also is farming and needs that additional help. So what John Deere is moving towards is having a lower cost of entry for the upfront technology, mm-hmm. but then charging as you use it. So you can elect, does it make sense for me to go ahead and use the autonomy, or do I want to be in the driver's seat and drive it? And so there's, it's kind of like pay-per-view or, some of the car manufacturers, you can turn on sport mode in your sports car. If you're going to go driving and you want to be out, cruising around the bluff roads and hot rodding around, or if you just want to drive it normal, you pay for it as you use it.
Okay. That being said, what you're talking about, should farmers, like if it was me, at my age, I'd be a little scared of something like that. I go, man, I can't do that.
Sure.
Now maybe, maybe my grandkid could, but I don't know if I could do it.
Right.
Do you got any advice on that?
So we run into that all the time, Chris.
Yes.
And so there's several different things that we try to do to help with that. Number one, we have product specialists in our company. So we have a gentleman that we actually hired from John Deere. He was a combine expert with John Deere. He's in our organization to help us train not only our employees, but also our customers. So we have preseason clinics. We also have a call center that is available to customers to call into, because so many of our machines, they operate seasonally. Mm-hmm. So it's 10, 11 months before they get back in. And I don't know about you, but I would forget.
Yeah, I know I would.
Before I got back in there. So with the technology we have, the call center on a lot of these machines can dial into the machine and see the screen the customer's looking at.
Oh, yeah.
And say, press here, press there. It's almost like being on Teams or some other system that you use on a computer. But the call center, they're the experts in the technology and the software, and they can help through a lot of those challenges preseason. So if we don't get them covered in a preseason clinic and get them up to speed, there's a call center that they can call for and get help. And if it's beyond what they can do, we have people in the field that can come out and help with that as well. And if they find out it's a mechanical issue, then we have the technicians at the stores that can come out and take care of that part of it. But there's multiple stages of support that we can go through to help somebody out with these sorts of products.
Yeah. And, today, we're forced with labor issues.
Yes.
I mean, that really helps out with the labor issue.
It does.
Yeah, I can see that being big. Mm-hmm. How about, are you guys, is it hard keeping pace with all this? I mean,
It is a daily challenge.
I mean, with your employees, you got to train them on it.
It is. And
then the customers, I mean.
Yeah, it is a daily challenge. And it was a little bit easier to keep up with when it was only being offered on new products that you ordered from John Deere, new from the factory. But they have started retrofitting or going back to machines that are already in the field. So if somebody has a four-year-old planter or a five-year-old sprayer or combine, and they see a new technology out there and they say, I really want that, but I don't want to go buy a new machine.
You can
a
adapt.
Lot of those, we can adapt it back to older equipment. Uh-huh. So that becomes a little more complex, right? We've got to look at the specifications and all those sorts of things and make sure that the software and controllers and all that are compatible. But again, that's where another step that John Deere is helping us get technology out for our customer base is applying it to older machines.
I see. And John Deere's, how about their focus on applying technology for working towards lower costs? Oh, we talked about that already, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about career opportunities in John Deere.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Tell us about it. What can they do besides, I mean, as far as even farming, I mean, with John Deere, I mean, if you can't, maybe there's only so much room on the farm, but
right.
You like to stay close to agriculture.
Right.
And there's some opportunities with John Deere.
Mm-hmm. So with our company, and this is part of the benefit of having multiple locations, is we can create more and more opportunities. So we're going to have the traditional areas that you would think of in a business, accounting and IT and HR and those, marketing is another one, that are more, I guess, centralized type roles. But then at the locations, we do have parts roles and technicians. You'll notice I called them technicians, not mechanics,
yes.
Because it is much more technical today than what it used to be.
Yep.
So they need to be more versed in electronics, controllers, software. It's not quite the job that I think everybody thought of, years and years ago. It's a little bit different scenario. Then we do have managers at the locations, but then depending where somebody wants to take their career, if they want to be on the road working with multiple stores like I do, there's mm-hmm. those opportunities in sales and general management and service support as well. But we're also trying really hard, Chris, to get interest from younger people in these rural communities, whether it's Jerseyville and the surrounding area or around any of our other stores in Western Missouri, Southern Illinois. And we do a lot of sponsorships. So we have internships for college students that may be wanting to go into management at some point. So we recruit from a lot of different colleges for that. But we also are looking for high school students that may be interested in being a technician.
Okay.
And we have a couple different routes they can go with that. So John Deere has a really good program over at Lakeland College. It's a two-year that you get an associate's degree with. State Tech in Missouri, there's lots of different programs that we will do sponsorships with. But what we realized is, I guess about 3-4 years ago, there were a lot of students coming out of high school that were interested in technology or in being a technician, but they didn't want to get the associate's degree.
Mm-hmm.
They were more, show me the trade. I want to learn the trade and put me to work.
Yes.
And so they were going into other occupations.
Where they could do that.
Where they could do that. So that's when we decided we were going to open up our own S&P Academy in Wentzville.
Okay.
So we have a 9-month course that we have a very, very heavy sponsorship in. So we actually pay the students a wage while they're going to school. We provide housing. It's a pretty nice program.
That sounds pretty good.
Yep. We stock them up with a tool set. And we go through in 9 months a crash course on the cores. So looking at engines, hydraulics, electrical, all those sorts of systems to give them a baseline knowledge. So when they come to start working at the store, they're not just being thrown out there and trying to learn as they go. They have a baseline knowledge. They're not experts yet.
Right.
But they've got a good foundation to come into the store then and be paired up with another technician or a group of technicians to continue to learn the trade.
So somebody that might be interested in that,
mm-hmm.
Somebody local, they go to the school that you're talking about.
Right.
Okay. And then do they have when they get out? Is it possible for them to be close to home?
It is. So we try to figure that out on the front end. If it's somebody that says, hey, I'm free and clear and I'm willing to go wherever and I want to go experience some other geographies, we'll work with them to go to the other stores. But we've had a number of students from Jerseyville and Southwestern, and now we're starting to get some students from Staunton that are interested in working here at Jerseyville.
What advice can you give to a young high school student? Mm-hmm. Okay. What can you tell them? Like, okay, if you are thinking about getting in this program,
yeah,
give them some advice, what they need to do in high school.
Yeah. So I guess a couple of things there. One is looking at your course outline that you're taking in high school.
Yes.
And figure out, you know, what is offered at the school. Every school's got a little different class offering, but getting into anything that's mechanical, electrical, and frankly, computers. Mm-hmm. There's so much software that we deal with day to day that having some general understanding of that is really, really good. Working with their advisor, and then most of the schools in this area are aware of our programs. So if they're even remotely interested in it, whether they're a sophomore, junior, or senior, or freshman, as far as that matter, we schedule regular tours of that location. Mm-hmm. So we've had large groups from Southwestern and Jerseyville and a few others that will come over. We'll talk about the general program. We'll talk about take a tour of the academy. They can talk to some current students. But then we'll also talk about the other sponsorships we have if somebody is looking for an associate's degree or somebody that wants to go through this sort of program and they say, I really want to get into the technology side of this. Mm-hmm. And I want to go to a year and a half, 2 year program and then go on maybe another year to become even more of an expert in precision farming practices and those sorts of things. So there's lots of different avenues we can go down with this. But the biggest step, I think, is getting in touch with the advisor at the school, getting in touch with us, and then we can talk through what those options and details are.
Fantastic. We're going to wrap this interview up. What else do you want to add? Any points you want to make that we missed on this little talk we've had? Anything going on? We've covered it all?
I think we've covered it, Chris.
Well, Ben, thanks so much for coming in today. Appreciate it. And sounds like you got a heck of a thing going there at John Deere.
It's been really exciting, and you know, we're continuing to grow so that we can continue to provide more services to the customer.
John Deere Green.
That's right.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate it.